Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Vav. Begin 12 lines up from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins with the new Mishnah. This Mishnah discusses the topic of Makabe Patash, of creating a kli, which is a common application of a shaila regarding soda bottles, soda cans, regarding when you make a hole, that could be considered creating a kli, because now you can utilize it by opening it, by putting things in or taking things out of the kli. So that's the discussion of our current Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins. Shaver adam esachav is a person could break a barrel. That is, the barrel is full with dried figs. He can do that either with a knife or with a sword. He can break it lechalem and the gregors to eat the dried figs that are inside of it, because the reason why there's no problem, although you're breaking open the barrel on Shabbos, is because there is no Isra on Shabbos that is done through Mekalkal. And here, since you're doing an act of kilkel, of destructive act, you're just breaking a barrel to get what's inside of it, that's not a malacha on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to do that to get the food that is inside of it. However, as long as your intention is not to create a kli out of it, in other words, that you're going to make a good hole, and now you can go ahead and take things out and put things in. So now it's, to the contrary, that would be a malacha, because that's makom patash. You're creating an entire kli by making a good hole. Now you gave it utility that you could take things in and out of it. So it's only talking about when you just destroy it, and now it has no utility, you just smash it open, and then you could take things out. But if you're making a good hold, now it turns it into a kli. That would be an isser to do on Shabbos. The ein nikfin megufa shachavas. Similarly, you're not allowed to make a hole in the clay stopper of the barrel. And that is, this was a thing of clay that was attached to the opening of the barrel. And then the person is not allowed to go ahead and make a hole in it on Shabbos. Rather, you have to take off the entire clay to open up the barrel. But if you're going to make a hole in that clay stopper, then that's going to be being mesakin a Pesach. You're going to be opening a hole for it. That's, as we said, makabe patish. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda has opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that that's also included in the same iser as making a hole. If something would apply to the clay stopper, that you can't go ahead and make a hole in it. The Chum say that it's permitted because it's not the way, it's not the derech of making a Pesach, of making an opening for a barrel that way. And therefore, even to make a hole in the clay stopper is not a problem. It's just breaking it open to be able to get things out of it. However, everyone agrees v'lo yikven mitzida that you're not allowed to go ahead and make a hole on the side, which the Gemara is going to explain the side of what and what are we talking about and why does everyone agree over there. However, the Mishnah continues v'im hois nekuva, if the barrel already had a hole lo yitna le'ashavi, and I'll put wax on it to go ahead and close up that hole mamneshu memarech, because that would be a problem of smoothing the wax into the hole, which is the issur d'oraisa, the malach of Shabbos of memachik, of smoothing. Rabbi Yehuda brings a story to illustrate this. Ma'isa bulav ne Rabbi Yochanan Zakei ba'arav. Once such an incident happened in front of Rabbi Yochanan Zakei in Arav, the name of a place. V'amar chashashin lemechad, says, I'm concerned about this person that did this, that maybe he's going to have to bring a carbon chatzis, because when he's smoothing out the wax to attach it to the wall of the kli around the hole, like that again would be the malacha deraisa of memachik, and therefore possibly a person is going to have to bring a carbon chatzis. So the Gemara explains now our Mishnah. Amr Beisha, lo yishanu, we did not learn in the beginning of our Mishnah that a person could break open a barrel and thereby taking a sword or a knife to be able to go ahead and use it to break open the barrel to then get the dried figs out of it. Ela Drusus, only if the dried figs that are inside the barrel are tightly stuck together in one of those igule dvela, which are these round cakes of figs, and then they would have to cut it open with this, with an axe or with a sword. And that is, since you're allowed to move this sword for the purpose of what its utility is for, to break open and cut open the cake of figs, so then you can also break the barrel together once you're doing that. For others, but those that are separate, that you don't have to cut open, if let's say the figs inside, the dried figs are not tightly attached together, then you're not allowed to take the sword to go ahead and break open the barrel. As the Gemara is going to explain that our Mishnah is Reb Nechemya, that he says, Ein kli nitel elu l'tashma shamayuchalo. You're not allowed to use any vessel, even a kli that's a mutter, like a spoon or a knife. You can't go ahead and use it. You can only use it for what it's specifically designated for. And therefore, even regarding this sword or this knife, you can't go ahead and use it unless you're using it what it's meant for. So therefore, when their figs are tightly packed together, that it's meant to be used like an axe to go ahead and chop open the dried figs. Then once you take them, then you can use it to break them in the barrel. But if not, if they're separate, you can't just take an axe or a sword or whatever it is and break them in the barrel, because it's not meant for barrels. And therefore, although it's a non-muktzah item, even non-muktzah items can only be used for what they're meant for. And therefore, only when they're tight together that you're using it for what it's meant for. Now, once you're holding it, then we allow you to go ahead and use it to break open the barrel to get to the dried figs inside of it. which the Gemara asks, Umafradus law, is it really true that if the figs are separate and not tied together, that then you can't use a sword or one of these types of elements, these utensils, to go ahead and break open the barrel? But Mesve, we learned, maybe Adam is a chavash shal yain, the person could bring a barrel of wine, umatas reisha b'saif, and chop off the top of the barrel with a sword. Umanich lefnei arachim b'shabbos, you could put it in front of the guests on Shabbos. You don't have to be concerned, and that then that's in spite of the fact that wine you don't cut wine. So therefore, how are you allowed to take the saif, the sword, to break open the barrel if we said that you could only use it for what it's meant for, and it's not meant for breaking open barrels? And here it's definitely not for the food inside of it, because that's wine, and wine you don't need a knife to cut it. That the Gemara says, as we already alluded to before, Ahi Rabbanim. That statement from Shimon Gamliel is going like the opinion of the Rabban, that they argue under Menachem, and they say, every vessel that's not Muktzah can be used whether Letzarech or Shalei Letzarech, you can use it whatever you want it for. And therefore, since this sword is a non-Muktzah sword, you can use it for a barrel, you can use it for whatever is a permitted thing to be done on Shabbos. But our Mishnah is like Reb Nechemya, and therefore, since it's like Reb Nechemya, who says you could only use it what it's meant for, it has to be talking about dried figs that are tied together, that now you're picking it up for what it's meant for, then we allow you to break them in the barrel on the way to doing that, but if not, it would be awesome. Torah Gemara asks, what was pushing Reb Oishia to say that, you know who's the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Nechemya, and therefore it has to be told about a case of when the figs are tied together, because if they weren't tied together, then it would be us to use the knife, the sword, to even break open the barrel. What do you mean? You should have done the simpler way. Lukum bin Farad is Rabbanan. Let him just say that no. In the case of our Mishnah is Tomat, even if the dried figs are separate, not tied together. And the reason why it's mutter to go ahead and use the sword or the knife to break them in the battle is because, like the majority opinion of the Rabbanan, that they say you can use a non-mukta item even for what it's not designated for, which is to break open the barrel. So Amar Rava, Rava says the reason why he had to say this was Masnit and Kashise, the Mishnah was bothering him. And that is, my ear you did a ton of Gregors. Why did the Mishnah have to pick of all cases that you break them in the barrel to eat dried figs? There's so many different cases. Listen to Paris, just eat produce, which should include everything. No, but Drew says, obviously the reason why we picked dried figs is because specifically dried figs has a case in it, which would be drusas when they're tied together. Now, tied together, why do we need such an element of tied together dried figs to be able to go ahead and break them in the barrel, which is not a problem, it's kilkel, which everyone says you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, must be the time of Mishnah is Reb Nechemya, who holds you can only use something like a sword or a knife or any permitted utensil, only for what it's designated for, which would be the figs. And therefore, once we allow you to use it for the figs, then we allow you to break open the barrel. But if not for that, we would not allow you to take even to break open the barrel of wine with a sword, because that, according to Nechemya, is not permitted on Shabbos. The Gemara brings a similar stira, which the Gemara resolves from the brises regarding that it's the same achlekes or belaza and rabban. Tanya chadu in one brisa, chesali shal gregis v'shal tamar, that these baskets were made out of kapis tamar and palm fronds, and they would make some type of baskets, and they would put in it these unripe type of dates, and it would just sit there to ripen. So regarding these baskets that had these dried figs and these dates inside of it, matter you can untie, and that is if, let's say, you tied on a cover on top of these baskets with a rope, you could untie the rope, umafkia, and unravel the rope, the chaytach, and cut the rope. So all these three different ways of getting to the food, these fruits that are inside of it, are permitted to do. B'tan yidachi, we learn in another brisa, matter, yes, you're allowed to untie it, avaloi mafkia, but you cannot unravel it, that is to break open the chains of the rope that's on top of the keli, but loy chaytach, and you can't cut it off, because a keli, which is the knife, cannot be used only for what it's designated for, and the knife is not meant to be cutting open ropes. So although cutting open the rope is not a problem actually in its own right to do on Shabbos, but you're not going to take the knife to go ahead and cut it open, because you can't use a vessel, even a permitted vessel, like a knife, only for what it's meant for, and it's not meant to cut open ropes. So how do we resolve the contradiction? On one hand, one brisa says you could untie, unravel, and cut, and the other one says you could only untie, but not unravel and cut. And the Gemara says, like we mentioned before, Leikasha, Harabbanan Harim Nechemya. The one that says that you're allowed to is the Rabbanan, who says you can use the knife or whatever you want to use it for if it's a non-mukta or if it's a non-malacha activity. And Reb Nechemya says, no, you can only use it what it's meant for. The time like within the Braisa. Reb Nechemya says, I feel a tarvit, even a spoon, I feel a talis, even a cloak, I feel a sack, and even a knife, innocuous items that are non-mukta. Einitan el tzarech tashmishin can only be taken for what its designated utility is. And therefore, again, you can't use it to cut open the rope, because that's not what the knife is meant for. It's meant for cutting other items that are usually eaten or whatever it is, but not for a rope. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following question. What's the halacha with sticking in chavita, a spear, to stick it into the wall to make a hole, biburtia, in a barrel. B'shabata, on Shabbos. What is the halacha? You let it take the spear and make a hole in the side of a barrel on Shabbos. And the question is as follows. The Gemara explains. Do we say that what the intention with sticking in the spear is to go ahead and make a hole, and therefore, once you're making an entryway, that's asr, because as we said, creating it, making it into a kli by making a hole into it, that's an isr to do on Shabbos. And therefore, it's going to be asr. Maybe you're just intending to widen and extend the area where the wine could come out to make a larger hole. And since you didn't make a hole the way it's normally made, a fine round hole, therefore that would show that you're not intending to really make a hole. You just want to extend the area of how the wine could get in and out. Therefore, that would be mutter. You're not really making a pesach. You're not making a hole to create a keli. You're just facilitating the appropriate channels of the wine to get out. So Amalei answered him, Lepischa k'mecham v'asa, the person is intending to make a hole. He's intending to create the keli as a means possibly of facilitating the travel of the wine, but it's to create the keli, and therefore it's us to do that on Shabbos. However, the Gemara asked Meis, we learned, and we just quoted this price before, a person can bring a barrel of wine, and you can chop off the head of the barrel with a knife, with a sword. Now, the difficulty is, over here we're saying that you could go ahead and make an opening of the barrel of the wine, and there's no problem. Yet you just said that if you want to be able to facilitate the travel of the wine by putting a spear in the side, then that's going to be a problem. What's the difference about chopping off the top and now opening it that way, or making a hole in the side of the barrel, which you're saying is aser? So then he answered, no, because hasam vadile in yafir kemechav. And there, by the case of b'shimming amalil, the reason why there it's mutter, because the person definitely had his intention to just make a wider area to be able to get the wine out. And that is he widened the area below the magufa, below the clay stopper. As it says, matis es reish, he chopped off the top. That's the edge of the barrel. So that's definitely, he was just intending to be able to get the wine out. But hachi im isa del ein yafir kemechavim. But here, in the case of the spear, if he really was intending just to be able to get the wine out and not to make a hole to make a pesach, then leftoch miftach, let him just open up the barrel, let him take off the cover, let him take off the magufa, let him take off the clay stopper. And why isn't he doing it? Why is he piercing it with a spear? Obviously, because he doesn't just want to open it. He wants to make a hole that can be there as a function of the keli, and that's why it's going to be awesome. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. It says, one cannot make a hole in the clay stopper of the barrel. That was the Pinyin Yehuda, and the Chacham argue. However, the Mishnah then continued and said that everybody agrees that it's aser bitzida, on the side. So now the Gemara is going to elaborate on this machloikis and where everyone agrees in the Mishnah. And there's going to be a machloikis amiram. Amrav Huna says, machloikis lamala. The whole machloikis in our Mishnah was regarding above, on the top of the magufa of the clay stopper. That there, the Rabban say it's mutter, because it's not the derech to make a pesach over there. Rather, you're just going to take off the whole magufa, the whole clay stopper, and therefore, when you go ahead and you're making a hole, that's not considered making a pesach, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Al minatzad, but on the side of the clay stopper, where there sometimes people do make a pesach, and he doesn't want to open up the whole thing on the top because he doesn't want that earth or other different things, that waste matter will fall into the wine. So there, everybody agrees that it's going to be asr. Their whole machlekes was on the top. There we have a machlekes, but on the side, there everyone's going to agree that a person would make a pesach over there, and therefore it's going to be asr. Behind the diktani, and that's what our Mishnah said when it meant, lo yikven mitzida, that you should, that everyone agrees, and I'll make a hole on the side of the magufa, that mitzid is going on the magufa. That although we had a machlekes regarding the magufa, if you're making a hole, it's considered making a pesach. Now, that was only on the top. However, on the side, there everyone would agree that people sometimes would want to make a pesach because he doesn't want everything to fall in, so he's making on the side of it, and therefore everyone would agree that it's going to be us. However, Rav Chizda argues and he says, machlekes min atzad. The whole machlekes in our Mishnah was only on the side of the magufa, of the clay stopper. And that only there did Yehuda say that it's aser, because as we said, some people will make a pesach. But on the top, everyone would agree that it's mutter. That's not the derech for people to make a pesach over there, and therefore it's not a problem, and it's going to be mutter. And this, that it said in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to make a hole on the side, that there everybody agrees. That was talking about on the side of the barrel, but not on the side of the magufa of the clay stopper. And therefore, this is the machlokes regarding how do you interpret in our Mishnah that everyone agrees that you not make a hole betzid on the side doesn't mean on the side of the magufa, that everyone agrees you not make a hole on the side of the clay stopper, and the machlokes is only on the top. Or do we say that no, that everybody agrees that on the top is going to be mutter, and the machlokes was only on regarding the side of the clay stopper, and this is everyone agrees on the side that it's usher, meant on the side of the barrel. Side of the barrel, everyone agrees when you're making that hole, is you're making a Pesach, and therefore it's going to be usher. Now the Gemara continues on this isra of making a hole in the guf of the chavis, in the actual barrel itself. Tana b'Amrilin the Brisa. Ein nekvin nekev chadish b'Shabbos. One does not allow to make a new hole on Shabbos in the keli, in the vessel. Then b'lohisav meisav, but if you're going to come to add on to already a hole that has already been there, an extant hole, then you can go ahead and expand it and make it larger. The Eshrim, some say that no, Eimaisibin, you can't even make an existing hole even larger. However, Vishavan, everyone agrees, Shneik v'nek of Yashin l'ketchili, that you can go ahead and open up an old hole that was closed up, that when you go ahead and you open it, it's not like you're creating a Pesach, because it was already there, it was just closed up, you're taking away the closing, therefore that's not considered making a Pesach, and that's going to be mutter to do on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks on this Brisa. The Tanakhama, regarding the Tanakhama, that he said it's permitted to add on to a hole. You're just not going to make a hole. If you have a closed vessel and you're creating a hole, so now you're creating the kli by giving it that ability with the hole now, that's only making the hole, but to extend a hole, that's not a problem. The question is, why in a sense is it any difference than creating a new hole? That's forbidden to come Mesach and Pischa because you're creating an opening. When you add on, you're also creating an opening because you're widening it. And therefore, that's considered the completion of this malacha. It's a different hole, and it's a larger hole. So you're creating a kli by giving it new definitions in its parameters. So therefore, that should also be an issue to do on Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, no, in truth, really, there shouldn't be any problems here at all, because Dva Torah, Minat Torah, called Pesach Shein Osel Hachnas Loitzi. Any Pesach, any hole, any opening to a vessel that doesn't have the ability to take in and to let out, that's not the purpose of what it's for, to take things in and to take and to bring things out, in a Pesach is not really an opening to even qualify as an Isser of creating a Pesach. And here it's not to take things in, it's just to let it out, and therefore shouldn't even be a problem at all. It's only the Rabban that made a gezeirah to say that it's going to be usur, even if it's not meant for taking in and out, because we're concerned that people might confuse it with the chicken coop, that there, in truth, as the Gemara says, the avid le'iyule avir, there it is meant, the hole in the chicken coop is meant to take in fresh air, and to let out the old stench, the old bad air that's there, the smell that the chicken shouldn't die from it, and therefore, that we said that it's going to include that even when things don't have both, we're not going to let you make the hole because we might confuse it and say chicken coop is also the same idea and we're going to do it there, and there will be the real Issur because it's meant for taking in and out. However, the Gemara says, V'imbola ha'isam ha'isam, that's why if you're coming to add on to the hole, you're allowed to add on to the hole. And we don't make a gzeir because you might come to add on by the chicken coop. As the Gemara says, because you're not going to come and add on to the hole of the chicken coop. And therefore, again, the whole reason why we said it's usur is only because of the chicken coop, because if we allow you to make a hole where, even though here there's not a problem, because not meant lahachnas lahoitzi, to bring in and to take out, which is the only way it's really the isur when you're making a Pesach, we only said it's usur because the gezer you might come to do the same that a chicken coop, the people might not realize it's meant to take in ear and let out the bad ear. So therefore, when you're just adding onto the hole, it's not, for sure not a problem. We're not going to make a gzeir over there because no one adds onto the hole of the chicken coop to make it larger or smaller. They keep it as it always is. As the Gemara says on Amud Beis, that Mishum Richasha, how would we know that a person is not going to extend the hole of the chicken coop? Because of vermin, because of these small shrotzim, like for example rats and weasels that kill the chickens, they don't want to make any larger the hole because then these animals are going to be able to get through. So therefore, since by chicken coop we're never going to extend the hole, therefore these things which are really not a problem, it's only because of gezeira, definitely we're allowed to extend the hole. That's the understanding of the Pinyan Tanakhama. But then we said, V'yesh em ein masif, and some say that you're not allowed to add onto the hole. Now, why not? We just explained that there's no reason to say that it's usur, because it's only gzeir, and the gzeir doesn't apply by extending it, because that doesn't apply to l'lul shel tanegoyim. And that the Gemara says, no. Because the v'yesh em hold, zimnun loy tikne mikar, sometimes the chicken coop's hole will not be made optimally. And that is to be able to let out the hevel, the bad ear, and to bring in the good ear. They're going to come to extend it, and therefore it does apply the gzeira, even in cases was just to extend, because sometimes you would want to extend the hole in the chicken coop, because although you don't want to make it large enough that the animals could come, but it's still going to be possibly too small to even let in the good air and let out the bad air, and therefore it does apply, and therefore we were going to aser it, forbid it, even in the case of just extending the hole, which by the case of the chicken coop would be the iser of creating a Pesach, which is to let in and let out the ears that are there. So the halacha, the Gemara brings darsh of Nachman Shimon Biyechanan. Halacha kishem, the halacha falzi yishem, that it's usher even to just add on to the hole, again, even though it's only gzer of loshatanik gum, that applies even by adding and extending onto the hole. So we said in that brisa, b'shavin, that they all agree, shenayk v'nek of yashon l'ketchel, that you're allowed to reopen the old hole, even initially, there's no problem whatsoever. So Amar Behuda Meshmul, lo yishonu, we did not learn that you're allowed to make this hole, in this old hole, only in the place in the barrel where it's meant just to maintain. And that is where this steamer, there was a hole that was then closed up. And now you want to reopen that hole. That's only if this closing was only to maintain the aroma of the wine, that it shouldn't go out and get ruined. Now, since it's not a full-fledged closing, because it's just to maintain smell, so therefore that's nothing, and therefore to reopen it, that's when we said that's going to be mutzah, because it's not really creating a Pesach. You're just removing the old closing. Aval chazik, but if this steamer was there to strengthen the vessel, that the wine shouldn't go out. Now, since that's a good steamer, it's really strong to hold in the wine. When you reopen that, that's like creating a new Pesach. That would be awesome, and therefore also that would be a problem. Now the Gemara explains. So what does this mean? Hechadam elishamer, hechadam elchazik. What is the case of doing it to maintain it, and what's the case of doing it to strengthen it? So Amar Rav Chizur says, if the hole that was made and then was closed up was above the level of the wine, zeh l'shamer, that's just to maintain it. That's a very weak closing, as we said, because that's not just to keep the wine in, because the liquid of the wine is below it. It's just to maintain the aroma. That doesn't need such a strong closing, and therefore to reopen that is not creating a Pesach. L'matim in the yain, Rav Chizda says, but below the level of where the wine is, zehu l'chazik, that's to strengthen the vessel, and that would be considered a true full-fledged closing, and therefore to reopen, that would be a problem on Shabbos. Rav Amar Rava argues, and he says, no, l'matim in the yain, nami zehu l'shama, even below the level of where the wine is on the side of the barrel, that is also just considered as a protection, as maintenance, because since the weight of the wine is not resting on it, it's just on the side of the barrel, that's enough with just even a very small, light closing, and therefore to reopen that would not be a problem. So what is the case of supporting the barrel that would be considered a full-fledged closing that would be an issue to reopen that on Shabbos? If, for example, there was a hole on the bottom below the lees, which is the weight of the sediments of the wine on the bottom, where there the whole weight of the wine laying on it, that to close that when that was closed up, that has to be a full-fledged closing. To reopen that on Shabbos would be a problem on Shabbos. So Amalei Abaye L'Rava. Abaye said to Rava, Tanya Damaseyeloch, there's a brisa that supports you, and this shows that you don't lose the shame, the name of a Pesach, of an opening, only if it has this true full-fledged closing, like the case that you're saying, where it's on the bottom of the barrel, only then will it lose its shame Pesach, and then it would be a problem to reopen that on Shabbos. As we learned in the Braisa, Bayis Sosam Yeshli Arba Amas. A closed house has four Amas. And that is, it's a Gemara in Baba Basra that explains regarding a courtyard that has to be split amongst all the inhabitants that have houses there. So how do you apportion it? So each courtyard gets split according to the entryways of every house. And that is every house, every entryway of the house that opens into the courtyard. If you're going to split it, let's say, between two people, if let's say this person has a house that has two entryways into the courtyard, and this other guy has four entryways into the courtyard. So for every entryway, every Pesach, you get four Amas in the width of that entryway, to the measurement of that width, and the rest of the courtyard gets split evenly. Now, if let's say one of these entryways were closed up before the courtyard was split up and apportioned, however, the frame was not broken off the doorway. Rather, it was just closed between the two lintels and between the lintel and the doorpost. Then he does not lose the din of a Pesach, and therefore he gets the Arba Amas that are there. So although it's boarded up, but the frame is still there, he's going to get the four Amas that are there in the width of his doorway, just like as if it was a regular full-fledged doorway. However, Paras says Petzimov, but if let's say the frame of the doorway was broken down, and then it was boarded up, so then it lost the name, the title of a Pesach for that doorway, and therefore Ein L'Dalet Amas, that doorway does not give him a four Amas area, because it's like there is no doorway there. Similarly, Bayis Sasim, a closed house that has a corpse inside of it, It does not contaminate the whole entire area around that house. But if the frame of it was broken down and it was closed up, so then it has, again, it gets the status of a kever, of a cave, and therefore metamekol svivav, it contaminates around the entire area up till Dalat Amis, as the Gemara in Saita says that a corpse has its toifas, it gives over the tumah up to 4 amis around. And that's the gzer d'rabbanan, because a person might come to lean over the kever and he's not going to realize. Therefore, we gave it up to 4 amis. It has the halacha of tumah. That's only by a closed, by a grave. Therefore, by a house that's totally closed, then we give it the halachic status of a grave, like it's closed up, like a casket. But if it's not totally closed, which in this case, if it didn't lose its frame, then it still has what of an opening, although it's boarded up, it's still considered opening. That's again, like rubber, these two halachas regarding apportioning the areas of the chatzar and regarding the halachas of tumah, we find that if it's just closed, although it's boarded up, it still has the same pesach. And however, it's only when it's totally destroyed, when the frame was taken off, then we see it as closed and not a Pesach. That's like Rava, where it has to be a really steamer malyasa for it to be considered a steamer and that it would be creating a new Pesach. That's like what he said, that it's only when the hole is on the bottom of the barrel, on the lees of the wine, then it's considered a real steamer that to go ahead and open it would be considered making a Pesach on Shabbos. So now continuing on this theme of making a Pesach, a hole on Shabbos, the Gemara continues with the Machlokes HaMeiruim. Gufsa, regarding a spigot, that's to stick in a hollow reed in the hole of a barrel, that the wine should come through that hole, through that reed. Rav Asur Shmuel Shari, Rav says it's forbidden to do that on Shabbos. Shmuel says that it's mutter. So now the Gemara explains this machlekes amiram. Mechatech likatchil, to go ahead and actually cut on Shabbos, to fix it according to the measurement of the hole that's there, that you want to make this spigot, to make the reed fit in there, to get the wine out of it. Everyone agrees to do that on Shabbos is definitely a problem on Shabbos. Hadure, to put it back into the barrel if it fell out, everyone doesn't agree, everyone doesn't argue that it's not a problem to put it back. When do they argue, Rav and Shmuel? That's if it's cut, but if it's not totally fit. In other words, it wasn't yet put into the hole to know if it fits the measurement or not. So we have it already here. We have the spigot, but it wasn't put in the hole. We don't know exactly if it's going to be exactly how we need it. Mandas, the one that says that it's forbidden, gezrinon dilma asil mechtech lekitchil. We don't allow you to put it even in because we're concerned that you might come then to chop it down to the right size if it doesn't fit exactly how it's supposed to be. Mandashar, the one that says that it's permitted, lekitchil, we're not concerned about that. And therefore, we let you put it back in. If it's not good, it's not good. You're not going to come to do the malacha. So again, so if initially to do it, to cut it up, is a problem. If it just fell out, not a problem, you put it back in. Problem was that it was already cut, but it wasn't put in. You don't know when the person, we don't know, the machlekes is, are we concerned about that the person might come to cut it to the right size if it doesn't fit exactly how it's supposed to be. So the Gemara says, Kitanoi, that in truth, this machlekes, Rav Shmuel, is a machlekes tanoi. As we learned, Ein choitchin shvefez b'yamtev. You're not allowed to cut a tube on yamtev. Vein tzarech lehem b'shabbos, you don't have to say that it would be forbidden to do that on Shabbos. Nafla. If it fell out, oh, then machzir naisa b'Shabbos, you could bring it back on Shabbos, and you don't have to say that it's going to be mutter on Yom Tov. And that's exactly, as we said, that both agree to those two components. Rabbi Yoshe Meikar, Rabbi Yoshe is lenient, which the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Rabbi Yoshe, hi, where is Rabbi Yoshe going on? Ilema Reisha, if he's going on the Reisha regarding cutting the tube on Shabbos, how could he be lenient? Hokam Asakin Mana, you're fixing a vessel, which is one Lama Tes Malach, is a Makab Patish, you can't do that on Shabbos. Ela Seifa, rather, he's going on the Seifa. Well, Tanakama Nami Mishikashari. Regarding the one that it fell out and putting it back in, even the Tanakama says that it's Mutter. So what would it mean Rabbi Yoshe is lenient? Tanakama is also lenient. Ela must be this middle case, the Chaticha of Eloi Mesak Niki Menayu, where it was cut, the tube, from before Shabbos, but it wasn't fixed exactly that to see if it's the exact size. There is, as we explained, the Machlekes Rav Shmuel is the Machlekes of these Tanaim. Mar Savar Gezrina, the Tanakama held that we make a Gzeir, we're concerned that you now go ahead and put it in because you might come to cut it if it's not exact. Umar Savar Loi Gezrina, but Rabbi Yoshe was lenient and he says we don't decree, and that is the same Machlekes of Rav Shmuel. La Halacha, the Gemara brings Darsh Rav Sheisha Bereda of Idi Mishmeda Bechnan. Halacha Rabbi Yoshe, Halacha is like Rabbi Yoshe, Lekula, that we're not Gezrina, we're not concerned that if you come to put it in and it's not exact, you might come to do the Malacha, and therefore you're allowed to put it in initially on Shabbos if it was already cut from before Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we had in our Mishnah, we said, v'mhoitz nekuva v'chulu, that if there was a hole, you now go ahead and take wax and to smooth it in the hole. That could come to bring a malacha of memarech, of smoothing on Shabbos. So now the Gemara brings the machlekes amiram regarding something similar to wax. Mishcha, regarding thick oil. Rav also, Rav says forbidden to smooth it onto the hole on Shabbos. But Shmuel Shmar Ashari, Shmuel says it's permitted. So the Gemara explains, Man da aser gezerin mishum Shabbos. The one that says that it's aser Rav is because we make a gzeri. If we allow to use thick oil, it's very similar to the content of wax, and we're concerned you might come do it by wax, which would be a problem of memachik. Uman de shari la gezerin. The one that says mutter holds that we don't make such a gzeri. We're not concerned about that. However, the Gemara brings a different version of Rav's statement that although we just quoted Rav by saying that it's aser, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Chana la Rav Yosef beferish amet la mishmed Rav. You told us explicitly in the name of the Rav that mishcha shari, that thick oil is permitted, not like the first version that we had that Rav was the one that said it's aser. You told us explicitly that Rav said that it's mutter. So Amar Tavis Rishpa Amar Shmuel hay tarfa de asa. This myrtle branch, this myrtle leaf, that is to take the leaf of a hadas of a myrtle and put it in the hole of the barrel, which now the leaf would be made like a gutter, and then the wine would be flowing through that leaf of the myrtle. Usher, it's forbidden to do that on Shabbos. My time, what's the problem? What are you doing already by putting this hadas leaf in the hole of the barrel on Shabbos? So Rav Yemim Medifdi Amar, one Amar says, Gizei Mishem Marzev. We make, it's a decree, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, because we're concerned of a gutter, because a person might come to actually make a true full-fledged gutter, which would be an Issa to do on Shabbos. Rav Ashi Amar Gizei Shem Yiktam. He says, the concern that we have is that you might come to break off the leaf from the branch, because you want to have the leaf to have as a gutter. And since if you're breaking it off for this intention, that's like what's called Mesakin Kli. That would be an Issa to do on Shabbos, as we learn in the Brayis and Masechtas Beya, that if you break off a piece of wood to use it as a toothpick, you're not allowed to break it off. And if you break it off, you're even going to be chayav a chatas, because you're using it for a purpose of utility as a vessel. So here, by breaking off the leaf from the branch, would actually be a iser of possibly chiv chatas, because what you're doing is you're making it as a keli, which would be also to do on Shabbos. So Gemara asks, my, but now what's the difference between these two reasons? If it's because you might come to make an actual gutter, or because you're going to break off the leaf on Shabbos to use as a gutter, ikabinayu dekotim amantchiv. The difference between them is, if it was already broken off and it was already placed there on Shabbos, can you use it on Shabbos? That would be different, as according to Rav Ashi, would be permitted, because there's no more decree that you might come to break it off. It's already broken off and placed there. Whereas according to, and therefore you could place it there. Whereas according to Rav Yemir Medifti, it would be a problem, because it still applies. Even if it's there, it's a problem, because if we let you use the leaf, you might come to actually make a real gutter, and that's why it's a problem. Now the Gemara moves on to another topic, Beis Sadia, regarding a felt fabric, that it's made to fold under the person in the place of a pillow or a blanket. Rav also, Rav says, forbidden to bring it through the Rishas Rabim as a malbush, as wearing it when he's covered with this felt. But Shmuel says that it's permitted to wear it and to travel through the Rishas Rabim to be able to transport the felt that way. So the Gemara explains the machlekes as we did for with other machlekes on this amit. Birachin, when they're soft, where the derech is, the norm is that people would warm themselves up with this felt, the kulam lepleidishai, everyone agrees that it's permitted to wear them through the Rishas Rabim, because it's a malbush, it's a regular article of clothing, something that keeps you warm. Bekashin the kulam lepleidishai, when they're hard, no one argues that it's going to be forbidden, because no one wears that. It's a hard thing and it's not a garment. And it's like taking a rag or a mat, that's a doormat, and using that as covering. It's no one uses it, and therefore that's definitely not a malbush. Ki pligi b'mitzi, when do they argue by something in the middle? That is, it's not too hard and not too soft. Manda azi michsi kemasi, the one that says forbidden because it looks like a burden doesn't really look like you're wearing a garment, and therefore that's why it's aser. Manda shori le michsi kemasi, according to one that says mutter, doesn't look like a burden, and therefore there's no element of marasayin over here, and therefore you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, no problem. And the Gemara comments that behod the Rav la befer shitma, this that we said in the name of Rav, that he said it's forbidden with this mitzi, this middle type of felt, that it's forbidden. He didn't say it explicitly. El mechlole, it was inferred from something that he had done, and therefore the Gemara is going to prove that possibly he doesn't even really hold that it's forbidden. The Rav ikla hu asa, that Rav went to a certain place. To lehavale Ravcha, there was no room in the house for all the tamidim, all the students to sit and hear the shir. So nafig yasa b'karmelis, he went out and he sat in the karmelis, where there was a wide open area. Aisa le b'sadya, they brought him this felt lining. Lo Yosef, and he didn't sit down in it. So Man the Chazir, the one that saw this, Savim Mishum de Beisad Yosef, he thought the reason was that because this felt blanket cannot be brought out, can't be worn. How to get to this Karmelis? Someone brought it. How? You can't carry into a Karmelis, which has a halachic status, at least Lechumra, like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So definitely someone wore it. Now, the one who said he's not using it is because you did an Isra bring it. Even if you wore it, you're not let to wear it on Shabbos. And that's where he inferred Rav's opinion that this middle felt is an Isra to wear it in the public domain because it looks like a Masim. However, the Gemara says, Velohi, it's not really true. That's not what should be inferred from what Rav did. The Rav Achruzim Achas, to the contrary, Rav had announced, Bei Sad Yishari, that this felt blanket, this thing that's used as a pillow, is mutter to wear on Shabbos. Although it's not the softest one, it doesn't look like a masa, it's like Shmuel. However, Mishum Kavod Rabbi Seinu Lo Yashav, it was only for the honor of our teachers that he didn't sit on it, and that is because there were others there that didn't have what to sit on. Only he was one that was, he was the Rebbe that was brought, and the others were sitting on the ground, so for the honor of the rest, he didn't want to be different and sit on the pillow and everyone sitting on the ground. Umaninu, who are these Rabbi Seinu that were his students? Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, that is, although they were his students, but they were somewhat on the level of chaverim, of friends, and therefore, although they were Tamidim, he didn't want to sit on the pillow, but not because it was usher to transport it, thereby wearing it. It actually is permitted, like Shmuel, and therefore, although it was said in the name of Rav that it's usher, it was only inferred, and therefore it really was incorrect. Really, Rav holds that it really is mutter. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. Neisnin tavshel techabar. A person could put a cooked dish, a food item, into a pit that doesn't have any water in it. B'shvil she'yishamer, just that he wants to keep it, maintain it, that it shouldn't spoil because of the heat of the day of the sun that's out there. So he keeps it in the pit where it's cooler temperature. Similarly, v'samayim ayafim, he could put good water, that means a cup, a bottle full of good water. B'rayim, in bad water, let's say into a mikvah gathered with the stagnant bad water, but he just wants to keep it cool, he's allowed to put it into there. Similarly, Vesatzinin Bechama Bishvil Sheicham, he's allowed to put cold water into the sun so that it should heat up. That's not a problem of Bishl on Shabbos because Bishl is only with fire, not with the sun, and there's no problem. Now the Mishnah continues on to a different idea. Misha Nashru Kalev Bederech B'mayim. Regarding someone that had his garments that they got wet, soaking wet with water when he was going on the road, that it fell into water on Shabbos, Mahalach ben ve'enecheshesh, he could walk with them, and he doesn't have to be concerned that there would be an element of marasayin as if he washed his clothing on Shabbos. You see, it's all wet. It's not a problem. You're allowed to wear it, and there's no concern for that. When he gets to the outer courtyard, the closest one to the entryway of the city, in the city, which is a place where his clothing will be protected, that he doesn't have to leave it somewhere that it's going to get ruined or stolen, then he can go ahead and lay it out in the sun to dry out. He cannot do this in front of the populace, in front of many people, because they're going to suspect him that he was mechabes, that he did the malach of malabin, of washing his clothing, because here you have, hanging out to dry, nicely, freshly washed clothing. Now, although he didn't really wash it, he was walking and he fell into a puddle, whatever it is. So he's allowed to dry. There's no problem with doing that. However, you can't do it in front of other people. That's the element of marasayin, that it looks like you did something wrong on Shabbos, and we don't want to make you suspicious in the eyes of others. Now the Gemara asks, on the first case of our Mishnah, Pshita, it's obvious. What is the chiddush exactly of our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to put a tavshel into a bor, you're allowed to put a cooked dish into a pit? What's the problem? What are you doing? You're not doing any malacha. Why can't you keep it on a cooler temperature? And that the Gemara says, Ma de tema, I would have thought possibly, that we would make a gzer that you can't put these food items into a pit because you might come to smooth out the bottom of the pit, that it should be smooth, that your pot should be able to sit there and not teeter-totter and fall over. Kamash Malon, as we tell you, no, we're not concerned about that, and you're allowed to put your food items in the pit, and you're not going to necessarily come to smooth out the pit on the bottom. Then the Mishnah continued, V'samayim hayafim b'ram. You're allowed to put good water into a good bottle of water into, you know, bad stagnant water, again, just to keep it cool. And the Gemara says, Pshita, what are you doing wrong? You're not doing bishul, you're not doing any malachis, so what's the problem? And the Gemara says, Sefer etzrichale. We didn't need it for this case, we needed it for the inverse of the other case of the Sefer, which was v'satzayin b'chama, that you could put the cold water into the sun. And the Gemara asks, Hanami Pshita, that's also obvious. What's wrong with putting in the sun? You're not doing bishul is with fire. That the Gemara says, that I would have thought possibly, if we allow you with other forms of cooking, which although it's permitted in the sun, you might come to go ahead and do hatmona and wrap it in remets, which are coals, and that would be a problem of bishul, of toldus or kamash bulan. That's what we come to tell you, that no, there's no problem. We're not concerned you're going to come to do other forms of bishul and hatmona. You're allowed to go ahead and put something cold into the sun, and we're not concerned you might come to do it in improper types of ways. So now Mishnah continued into a different topic. Mishanashra b'chulub, regarding someone that his clothing got wet, he's allowed to go with them, and he doesn't have to be concerned with what it looks like as if there's an element of marasayin. Then we said, however, regarding when he dries it out, he could dry it out, but it can't be dried out in front of everybody, because then there would be a problem of marasayin. So related to this, the Gemara brings a heroic statement. Amar Yehuda Merab. Whatever the Chacham said that there's a problem because of Maris Ayin, that you can't do this because it looks like something that's forbidden, then that halacha applies, even in one's innermost chambers where there's no one around, he's in this room in this house, where in his courtyard, whatever it is, no one's going around for miles, it doesn't make a difference. If the Chacham said that there's an element of Maris Ayin, let's say you're drinking some red type of drink, which looks like blood, which Chacham had said that if there's no scales inside of it, it looks like you're drinking blood, which is forbidden, and therefore you're not allowed to drink it, you can't even do it in the own privacy of your own room. However, the Gemara asks, from our Mishnah Tanan, we learn the Mishnah, said that you could spread out your clothing in the sun. There's nothing wrong. You're not doing any malacha by letting it dry out. But you can't do it in front of other people because people are going to see, wait a second, this guy obviously laundered his clothing. Look at him. He's hanging it from the whatever it is. He's drying it out. That's us to do. So you see, however, that if it was in private, that it is mutzah. So although there's an element of maris ayin here, that's only because in front of many people, but privately you're allowed to. So you see that even chadrach adam is mutter. And that the Gemara answers, tanoi. That in truth, it's a machlekes tanoi. Tanoi hi. The time like learn the braisa. Shoytchen b'chama v'loi k'neged am. You're right. Like the statement of our Mishnah, the Tanakama here holds, that you can lay it out in the sun, but not in front of other people. That again, that it's only a problem maris ayin, in front of many people, but chadrach adam, it's mutter. Rabbi Shimon, they say that's usher, and therefore when Rav was saying his statement, he was going like Rabbi Lazar Shimon, that they say that it's us, and not only from the many people, but even privately, even Mechadrach Adarim, Maris Ayin would apply, even in the privacy of one's home. That is a Machlokes Tanoim, if it's only in front of other people when they actually see, which is the idea of Maris Ayin, or if Maris Ayin would even be a problem, even Mechadrach Adarim, even the privacy of your own home where no one sees anything.